At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Commanders, who are in Madrid to take on the Miami Dolphins. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline from the Grant and Danny Show, here after me right here on The Fan, it's Danny Ruye. What's up, Funny Danny?
What's up, brother? Appreciate the CCR intro coming on. Bad Moon Rising is correct about this football team. You may not know CCR because it's a band with instruments. If there was a little or a lil in front of them, you might be more familiar. But they have a pretty good catalog. You can look it up in your spare time.
Danny, Dan Quinn moving to defensive coordinator. I've been saying I don't think he makes that move unless he feels like his seat is heating up a little bit. As great as last season was, the amount of blowout losses have to make ownership wonder, is he the right guy, given the fact that he's the defensive-minded coach? What are your thoughts?
So, yeah, I could see that view. To me, I read it as follows. Everybody is screaming and shouting, and apathy is going to set in. Their opponent this past week had one bad game, and Dan Quinn said, that's it. Dan Campbell said, this is an emergency. I got to take over play calling duties. I can't let this garbage stand when they scored 24 points against Minnesota. The dichotomy is Dan Quinn, his charges with one of the worst stretches in the last several decades of the league. Not just bad for this team, bad for the league. The team picking first overall does not have this happen, losing by 21 points in four consecutive games. Finally said, all right, I got to do something. But it's so much brotherhood. It's so much loyalty. It's so much hard bleep with good people and all this other kind of stuff. He didn't want to fire his buddy, so he just kind of said, hey, you're still part of it, but I'll call the plays. Just as a way to quiet everybody down in hopes that everyone left them alone, because they still internally have an incorrect assumption and belief about themselves that they're actually pretty good and this is an anomaly despite all the evidence to the contrary.
So, Danny, would you say you are turning on Dan Quinn?
Yes, I would. And it's not just this thing. I mean, listen, all the cliches and all the sergeant slogan stuff, that bothers people. I mean, everyone loves it, and they can't wait to hear more about it when you're winning. When you're losing, it just rings so hollow, it's nails on a chalkboard, and that's my own personal bias. But put that aside for a second. The things that I care about when it comes to coaching, you could drop the best play in the world, either a guy catches it or he doesn't, right? Someone makes the block or they don't. I mean, these are razor-thin margins in the best league in the world. The things that I care about, they don't do well, which is they burn a timeout unnecessarily due to disorganization every single start of every second half. That's controllable. That's coaching. If you're not calling plays, which he is now, what is it that you're doing? Make sure that's on point, and they keep getting it wrong week after week after week. It's not why they've lost, but it is a direct controllable, which shows me that he does not have control. Contrast that with a Mike Vrabel, the guy that I wanted initially in this entire hiring process. They get that stuff right every time. It's not one of those things where it's nice to have. It should be the prerequisite. They do it. They've got 9 wins. Washington does not here in this year. It's going to come crashing down for a million reasons. A lot of that is out of outside of Dan Quinn's purview in terms of player acquisition and some of the approach of this year. But I do not love what I'm seeing. Again, this stretch, the way as bad as it's been, does not happen in this league. And I understand injuries. But Adam, there are so many guys that are not injured who are guys that you would have counted on. You go back and look at that Detroit playoff game last year. Quan Martin has a pick six. He's outstanding in that game. Has been a huge regression last year. Mikey Sanders still an interception in that game. A massive regression. You go down the list, there's a lot of guys that they are counting on that have simply not performed. Where are my adjustments? So, yeah, I mean, it's not the point that I want him fired or think he should be dismissed or shouldn't be able to finish out the season or anything. But to me, the worm has turned a little bit where I'm kind of going, are we sure we made the best hire when it comes to it? Last year was so magical. It was awesome. That was a charmed ride. You can't take that off anybody's resume. But this year has been so bad, it forces you to ask what I think are fair questions.
Yeah, I like Dan Quinn, and because of the success of last year, I've been saying I will continue to support him until at least January 1st, 2027. I'm going to let him figure it out this year and next year before I make a move, but maybe that's just because of how much I hated Ron Rivera that I look at all the positives. But the defense needs to improve, and so we'll see what happens when he's defensive coordinator starting this weekend. But I'll say this about the Dan Quinn era. The thing that's pissed me off most is the penalties. Top 10 in penalties 2 years in a row, and that's on coaching too.
To a degree, yes. I mean, the can't remember the snap count, Zach Ertz stuff, where he gets another vet day. You know?
Well, then bench him, or stop giving him the rest, you know?
Yeah, that kind of stuff is beyond infuriating to me, so I'm with you on that. But a holding penalty may be because you're beat. Right? I mean, think about a defensive pass interference penalty. It's usually because you're in a position of disadvantage. Is that a coaching thing, or are you not good enough, Marshawn Lattimore? I think that's, you know, always kind of part of a nuanced discussion there. But, yes, you're right. It's when you see those penalties, for some teams, it doesn't matter. You back them up 5 yards, they're getting the first down anyhow. With this group, it just everything seems to be such a rock fight. It's really hard for them to overcome any setback of any kind. So, yeah, that has been really frustrating for sure. I'm not going to talk you out of that.
What are you expecting Sunday morning when we wake up and watch this game between 2-3-7 football teams that are going nowhere quick? Is it possible we get an offensive explosion from the Dolphins with how bad our defense is, or maybe Mariota and Chris Rodriguez get going? It just seems like this could be a 13-7 game that the people in Madrid are bored.
Well, yeah, I don't think this is a great matchup to try to grow the game. I will say that people are going to go because it's a novelty and it's neat. So I'm gonna just kind of go through this in my mind. This is what I've been thinking about. Miami has offensive players that are human beings, which means they will have a wonderful offensive day. This defense, I don't care who's calling the plays, is incapable. They have no answers. They have no speed. They have no ability to counterpunch. Devin Achane is going to have 190 total yards. Jalen Waddle will have 130 yards and a touchdown or two. Tua will thrive. They can't rush the passer. They can't stop the run. They can't cover in the pass game. Other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? So, yeah, I think it's going to be a disaster. This offense is, talking about Washington's, is fine with Mariota operating and very little weaponry around him. They're not good. I'm not telling you I've seen the second coming, but they'll be okay. They'll muddle through, get their 17 to 22 points. But Miami's going to score a lot more than that because, again, they have 11 human beings on the field. They'll have the same uniform on, and they are on offense, which means Washington can't stop it.
Can you kind of put yourself into Dan Quinn's shoes? What improvements could you see happening?
I have racked – this is what we've been talking about. I've racked my brain. I mean, every time you see a coaching change, Adam, you get some kind of – you know, the occasional dead cat bounce to steal some of the parlance. You get the occasional, you know, this isn't really fixed, but for a week or two, it's just a different voice, and maybe that goes well. But, I mean, the players are still the players that are receiving the calls. Maybe a call's better. Maybe something here and there improves. But, they don't have enough talent. They are not fast enough. They are slow. They are being exposed. This kind of hidden subplot is all things Shanahan offense, which has basically taken over the league and all his disciples, whether it's Shanahan, McVay, Matt LaFleur, and Mike McDaniel, and everybody have run circles around the Dan Quinn defense for years. They have taken his lunch. Go back to his last game in Dallas, that Green Bay playoff game, where they scored 2,000 points, and Dallas still hasn't made a stop. That, to me, is one of the subplots. So that's happening again this week. So Dan Quinn calling the plays into the headset, I don't know how much better it's going to be.
The talent's not there. And if coaching isn't going to change anything, then would you say Adam Peters dropped the ball defensively in the offseason?
I think so. But, and again, I'm not as critical of that, and I'll tell you why. I understand the pathology. Okay, what they did, and this goes back to their first year, they had a choice to make. They try to decide between getting their teeth kicked in a normal rebuild. You walk in, you open up all the cupboards. Oh, my God, there's nothing here. Ron Rivera and the Marty Party were such a disgrace. There was nothing for them to build around. Very few players and pieces that are worth a damn, right? You don't have a nice core. You could take your time, train all the veterans away, slowly bring in your own guys, win 4 or 5 games in your first year, sort of continuing the losing. Or you could do what they did, which is to say, this organization has been losing for decades, regardless of who's been in charge. We need some culture building with some wins. We need to establish a baseline, and we'll apprentice some of the young players that we import. But we're going to go get Ertz and Wagner and Austin Eckler and the Jeremy Chins of the world and all these veterans on these one-year deals. Throw spaghetti at the wall, see if Cleveland Farrell can do something, or Dante Fowler, and everybody else. And they basically had an 8-win team last year that lived the most charmed life in human history. Jaden Daniels is a wunderkind, and they went to the NFC title game. Well, if you go to the NFC title game, how could you possibly change your approach? And they didn't. So what ended up happening is they said, okay, let's double down. Let's do some more of these one-year deals. Let's do some more of these things. Adam Peters is feeling himself a little bit and says, I can find the next Dante Fowler. I can find the next Cleveland Farrell, the next Jeremy Chin, or whatever. And it all blew up in their face. The older real quick, counting on guys like Noah Brown to be anything other than injured all the time, just was folly, and it really regressed in a terrible, terrible way. I understand how we got here. To me, my frustration is the lack of pivot. This was time, the trade deadline, et cetera, to grab as many draft picks for a team that is devoid of them based on this build, trading for Deebo Samuel, trading for Laremy Tunsil. This was the moment to start that process, and they didn't. I think due to a lack of acknowledgement that this is really how bad it actually is. This offseason will be the key, though. You need to take a step back, get your teeth kicked in a little bit, but they need to be younger and faster, and they need it right now.
Danny, really appreciate it, man. Great stuff. Thanks for joining me.
You got it, buddy.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for Who's Talking Mondays here on 910 The Fan, and they will be at 5 p.m. on Monday because taking over at 6:15 will be the Good Feet Store tip-off show live from Raleigh, NC State against VCU. Michael Phelps and I will be making the trip, and I think so will our guest joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Read his work, richmond.com, Zach Joachim. What's up, Zach?
Dude, I'm amped for this game on Monday. It's going to be a lot of fun. That NC State offense looks really good. And a huge shout-out to you for sharing those Will Wade quotes with me from y'all's conversation at ACC Media Day. He said he had some really strikingly effusive praise of his former program, didn't he?
I mean, he basically told me straight to my face he made a mistake, and he would have done it differently. He would have probably still been at VCU if he could do it again.
He said he's used examples of the infrastructure that they had at VCU in place, you know, to kind of build his NC State program, right? And he said he never imagined going to the SEC that there would be things in place at VCU that he didn't necessarily have it at LSU. And I think in terms of administrative and fan support and everything, And yeah, he says that he left way too quick and should have stayed longer and had something really good going. They still have a bunch of friends in Richmond, he and his wife, some of whom are going to be making the trip down there on Monday. So it sounds like, and he talked to Ed McLaughlin, you know, shortly before y'all's conversation. So, and it's such a fascinating discussion, right, man? I mean, just about how the dynamic between VCU and Will Wade has evolved over the years in this changing college sports landscape, right? I mean, we'd be remiss to not use the words strong offer. When talking about it, everyone knows the saga with the FBI wiretap and stuff and what happened at LSU. But now that, you know, revenue sharing and paying players is out in the open, I think that perception of him has certainly shifted. And now he's scheduled VCU for a home and home, which the vast majority of power conference programs and coaches won't do. And so is it right to say, I think, that animosity that once existed has kind of evolved into some begrudging admiration and respect between the VCU fans and Will Wade?
Yeah, I think the year he had at McNeese was the best thing for him personally and his image, to take a small program like that and put them on a national landscape. It was huge for their program, for that community, and for his image as well. And now he moves to NC State. And, of course, you know, that's a program that just had success 2 years ago with their trip to the Final Four, but maybe not the right head coach for the job. You knew he was going to get fired even after that run if they didn't have success the following season as well. For VCU, it's Coach Phil Martelli Jr.'s first year, the Phil Martelli Jr. era, the unfiltered era, and there, it comes with a lot of offense. But I got to say, I've been impressed defensively too, and I think that's because, you know, the havoc that was set by Will Wade, that was set by Coach Rhodes, that was then set by Ryan Odom, it still lives here, even if it's not, you know, all of the same faces and places.
Yeah, they're picking up full court on a pretty consistent basis, right? I mean, some of their best sequences in that win over St. Peter's the other night is when they applied some full court pressure, and it allows them to push the pace a little bit. And so I think this team is going to press a lot, certainly a lot more than Ryan Odom's teams did, and play a lot faster than those Rams teams did. And so I think people are certainly enjoying the style that they're seeing from Phil Martelli's VCU so far early on. And look, I mean, some missed free throws against Utah State away from being 3-0 right now. I think people, you know, the line against St. Peter's was 21.5, right? And they actually dropped I think, four spots in KenPom after that win. And so against a team like St. Peter's, who's in the 300s in terms of their KenPom adjusted efficiency, you would have liked to beat them by more. And I think that some people want this VCU team to have been a little more dominant in the Wagner and St. Peter's game, certainly not to turn the ball over as much. That's the big thing that they got to clean up. But you were right there against Utah State, a team that's going to be, I think, like Phil Martelli said, a 7-8-9 seed in the NCAA tournament, and another enormous test for that defense on Monday against NC State, right? Because, my goodness, they got some firepower offensively. I've started to look into them these last couple of days. Darian Williams, 32 points in their win against UNC Greensboro the other night. Paul McNeil Jr., 27 points. They can fill it up, man, and it's going to be a huge test for this VCU defense. I'm looking at the KenPom numbers right now. NC State on the precipice of the top 25 right now. They're leading the others receiving votes category. And that offense is ranked 18th nationally in adjusted efficiency. And so VCU certainly going to have to turn it up on that end of the floor. And if they could pick up full court and create some turnovers and create a little havoc, then that would go a long way toward helping them get a hang your hat on it non-conference win that I think we all know, you know, the VCU fan base is pretty desperate for right now. The opportunities are limited. Obviously, the Bahamas, the holiday tournament is always huge for this program because your opportunities to get those non-conference wins, you only get so many of them. But going on the road against an ACC team that, you know, I think is probably going to be in the top 25 for a long portion of this season, and a lot of people think that this is an enormous opportunity and would change the complexion of the whole season for Phil Martelli and this group.
Yeah, I think the big key for VCU is going to be points in the paint, and probably for both schools, right, is to get easy looks at the basket to go along with some of these contested jumpers and three-point shots that each team will attempt. And for the Rams, I think that's Lazar Djokovic's game. And I do feel like if he had not rolled his ankle, that would have been a real different outcome against Utah State. We've seen how good he can be both offensively and defensively for VCU. And so on Monday against NC State, I look for Tracy, Jennings, Lewis, drive and feed the big fella, Godzilla, Lazar Djokovic for some dunks. That's the only way we're going to be in that game is if we get some easy buckets in the paint.
That nickname is really getting traction, isn't it? I think we're on to something there with Godzilla, man. You talked to Phil about it, and he likes it as a nickname. And I've been surprised, I think you have been too, and most VCU fans have, about the how the minutes in that front court have been dispersed early on here, right? I don't know why Keyshawn Mitchell hasn't played these last two games. I mean, you know, we asked Phil Martelli about it in the press conference this past week, and he said against Utah State it was kind of matchup dependent. But, man, Keyshawn barely played against Wagner, and then he hadn't seen the floor in these last two games. And Christian Furman is clearly the backup right now. And Lazar Djokovic, despite turning the ankle against Utah State, I thought his minutes might be limited against St. Peter's. Not so at all. Team high 30 minutes and 19 seconds. He is so important to what this VCU team does, and they don't look quite like the same team when he's not on the floor. I'm with you. I think if he doesn't turn that ankle against Utah State, I think they win that basketball game. And that's not making excuses. I think it's just a testament to how good Djokovic has been early on here, because he's been phenomenal. And how about four blocks the other night? He was most certainly Godzilla in front of the rim. You know, I thought that Firm was going to – and Firm is a great rim protector. It's not taking anything away from him. But it looks like Djokovic can certainly do that too. You know, I was thinking Firm was going to be the primary defensive presence around the rim for this team this year. It looks like between the two of them, they've got phenomenal rim protection, because Djokovic can certainly do it too. And he spaces the floor, you know, and that's so enormous for this team, because when you put him out there, he's proven that he can shoot it from outside too, right? You can't leave him wide open. And so that opens lanes for the guards around him to be able to drive, because Djokovic is pulling opposing bigs away from the basket. So yeah, he's been phenomenal, and they haven't looked like the same team without him on the floor. You know, that rotation was shorter than I thought it would be against St. Peter's too. You know, for all that we've talked about VCU using this depth, and they're certainly going to do that throughout the year to push the tempo and rotate a lot, that was kind of an 8-man rotation against the Peacocks, right? Michael Bell, 7 minutes, 33 seconds. Christian Furman, 6 minutes, 52 seconds. So they kind of played sparingly. Aside from that, it was the starting five plus Tyrell Ward, Ahmad Noel, and Terrence Hill. And so I was fascinated by that. I would think that we see a shorter rotation still, you know, on Monday against NC State. And then as you get toward the Bahamas and you got, you know, a few games in a short span of time, then Phil will lengthen that rotation back out and probably in December against some opponents that, you know, you should beat by wide margins, then they'll rotate more as well. But probably for this NC State game, I'm thinking he sticks with those eight guys because that group has been really good to start the year.
Yeah, I could see 10 getting minutes. And I think, you know, discussing what you were talking about earlier, I think we all have maybe the wrong perception on how Phil Martelli Jr. will use his Bryant guys. It's not like Odom bringing Sean Bairstow, who was the master of his offense, and Max Scholga, who's a future A-10 player of the year. You know, Keyshawn Mitchell and Barry Evans were good pieces on a team that won a conference championship, but I haven't seen the usage I thought we were going to get from Barry Evans, and you were talking about the minutes for Keyshawn Mitchell. It's not the same situation as Coach Odom when he brought over his guys. And I've been telling Robbie this. I do feel like I'm seeing a 5-5 rotation that is, all right, Nick Lewis is your point guard, but they've got a great backup in Ahmad Noel, who earned a lot of minutes defensively last game. All right, your two guards, their playmakers are Jager and Tracy and Brandon Jennings, but right behind them, Tyrell Ward can hit big shots, and Terrence Hill has been awesome from the three-point line. And then you got Evans at the four, Bell's at the five. You got Djokovic at the five. You've got right behind him, Christian Furman. So I feel like I'm seeing a full 10-man rotation right now from Martelli.
Yeah, he's been. You pointed this out in the game the other night. He's been going offense-defense a lot in terms of his rotations and subbing pretty consistently in late game opportunities and when he gets the chance to do that. I was shocked to see, I mean, Ahmad Noel, 5 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, a steal the other night. That box score does not go anywhere near illustrating his impact in that game. You and I were so impressed by him, especially on the defensive end. He had a lot of really gritty sequences that led to St. Peter's turnovers. He was so good in that respect. And I also love the observation of the lift that Terrence Hill Jr. is getting on that jump shot right now. He is shooting with so much confidence. He's getting high off the floor, which makes him really difficult to contest. He's shooting 47% from three. I looked at his season stats the other day through three games. He is lighting it up from outside, and it's just, you know, it looks like it's going to go in every time because he's raising up with so much confidence, and some of them are from really deep range. And so that's been awesome to see. We all know what Brandon Jennings can do in terms of defensive and rebounding contributions. Want to see him continue to get downhill and attack the rim. Not the best offensive game for him against St. Peter's, but we all know everything that he brings to this team. And Nick Lewis, man, is not just one of the best rookies in the A-10. He's one of the best rookies in the country. And he has showed us why Phil Martelli started him as a freshman right out the gate. I think we're all incredibly excited for everything that he can do for this team. And I wrote about this week too. Tyrell Ward does not look like a guy who hadn't played a college basketball game in 500 plus days, right? I mean, I think that's easy to forget that he sat out at LSU. He hadn't played in a game since March of 2023 before he took the floor against Utah State. But against Utah State and St. Peter's, he got 26 points, and he really does look like, you know, he might be the leading scorer for this team this year. It's fun to see the rotation develop here and the pieces kind of begin to fit together. Martelli has talked a lot about the collective experiences that they need to build together because they've all got their own individual experiences, but they haven't been through it together. That late run against Utah State, I think, is going to go a long way toward developing that cohesion because now they've had their backs against the wall together, and they can use that throughout the rest of the year, and hopefully they can use it on Monday against a really good NC State team.
Zach, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
AY, you're the best, my friend. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, have a good weekend. You're listening to AY Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most football talk in town. High school football game of the week, Hermitage at Midlothian. You can hear it right here on The Fan. Your home for the Hokies and the Hoos and the NFL. And, Jeremy, real quick, let me ask you. We had Moneyline Mac on. What do you think? Does JMU really control their own destiny to make it into the CFP?
Based on the standings, the last college football playoff poll, I'm leaning towards no. As much as I'd like that answer to be yes, I'm leaning towards no. South Florida is the one that truly controls their own destiny. They're winning in. JMU needs just South Florida to lose or something wild to happen in the American.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and I don't subscribe to any of the articles that are saying there's a possibility for the ACC champion to be left out. I just don't see that happening. But week 11 of the National Football League began last night, and it will continue Sunday as early as 9:30, 6:30 a.m. Set your alarm clock to turn on 910 The Fan here on the radio for the pregame coverage 3 hours before kickoff from Madrid, Washington, against the Miami Dolphins. But it's time to go around the National Football League and pick the AWOD Radio Certified NFL Game of the Week.
This is AWOD Certified Game of the Week.
Ready,
officially recognized as the NFL game this weekend that is certain to meet the qualifications or viewing standards set by football guys around the country.
Touchdown! Tie game!
Launching downfield, and it is caught!
Guaranteed to be a football guy's football game.
So we've all got so much going on in our lives, and a lot of our listeners probably have to, take their kids to soccer practice or basketball, maybe a game this weekend. And, you can't sit on the couch for 8 hours in a row. That's how you end up with sciatica, right? So you have to get up, you have to do things, but we guarantee one game is going to be worth your viewing pleasure every week in the National Football League. And there are a ton of bangers this weekend. I'm even excited for Panthers-Falcons 1 o'clock on Fox with, Carolina being so up and down this season, but yet, they're still alive in the playoffs because everybody, it seems like, is alive in that division right there. The Falcons are 3-6, but, a few weeks ago, they were going in a good direction. So, that's a good game. It's not the game of the week by far. Bears-Vikings is a good divisional batter. Packers against the Giants might be a little bit interesting. Bengals-Steelers, divisional battle. So there's, a lot of really good games. But there's only one certified NFL game of the week. And, Jeremy, I just don't think that's Chargers-Jags. I think it's a solid game. I don't think it's going to be this high-scoring shootout that everybody must watch. I think Seahawks-Rams could be a terrific game. But when those two teams face off against each other, a lot of times history would tell us it ends up being a defensive battle, right? It ends up being a lower scoring game. And I think those are the two best teams going head to head against each other this weekend, probably with the 2-7-2 records, but it's not my certified game of the week. I'm very intrigued by Chiefs Broncos. It does seem like if the Chiefs drop this one, the hill might be too high for them to climb to get back over the hump and get into the playoffs. Because if the playoffs started today, there'd be a lot of talent missing out. It would not include the Kansas City Chiefs. It would not include the Baltimore Ravens. It would not include the Houston Texans, the Cowboys, the 49ers, or the Minnesota Vikings. And Lions-Eagles is going to be a lot of people's choice for the game of the week. But Jay Money, I'm coming at you with the certified game of the week being Bills-Bucks.
Ooh.
Because I am expecting a shootout from Orchard Park in New York. I think you look at these two teams here, and they're coming into this game here in kind of interesting situations. Like, both of these teams are playoff teams that are coming off of a loss. Both of these teams have not looked like themselves in the last few weeks. And yet, both these two teams have superstars at quarterback. And when you get a big game and two big quarterbacks, I think they're going to both work the ball down the field easily. We've seen these defenses struggle. I mean, the Bills just gave up 30 to the Dolphins. You look at what Tampa did, and you know the Patriots were able to go up and down the field on them. 28-23 was your final in that one. So this is my game of the week here. I think it's going to be an offensive explosion. I think it's like it's two teams that are like both beaten on the same door but have not gotten through it, right? For the Bucks, they just haven't gotten as far as they all want to go since Tom Brady left as the quarterback there. It feels like in the last few years, you know, they had a playoff win against Philly and then got slapped in the face. They hosted Washington last year and Baker fumbled and dropped the ball and dropped the season. And for Buffalo, it's been Kansas City every single year. But like both these teams have consistently been postseason teams that have not been able to break through. For the Bucs, they did, but it was not with Baker Mayfield. Of course, that was with Tom Brady. So that is my certified game of the week. I am expecting an explosion on offense. What do you think?
Yeah, that one's going to be huge if you like offense. You want to talk about the highest scoring total, it's probably going to be that one. The Bills and the Bucks both coming off of losses, like you said. They're looking to prove something, prove that they are contenders in their respective conferences. I'm looking more towards one of those other games that you had brought up. I'm really big on this Rams-Seahawks game. I think this is legitimately a battle for who the best team in all of the NFL is right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that, I mean, I mentioned that earlier. I'm worried about that being a defensive game. And like, not a shootout, but like very low scoring. Could you see that?
Absolutely. Both of those teams have really good defenses. The Seahawks under Mike McDonald, absolutely really, really great with all the players they have on defense. And the defensive line for the Rams has just been a menace to teams all season long. So this one very well could be a low-scoring affair. But with the high-powered offenses both of these teams have, I don't necessarily think it's going to be like that Monday Night Football game we saw.
Yeah, for Washington, I want to see 10-7. For the certified game of the week, I don't want to see 10-7. I want to see both offenses get into the end zone. I want to see it come down to the final drive of the game. That could happen in Seahawks-Rams, but my choice, we told you, Bucks-Bills, 1 o'clock on CBS. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We got a DM from Keith earlier this week that said, "Peace out, Stubb. If you want to say goodbye to Stubb, give us a call. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. I know Coach Gary Criswell is still happy he will be helping out with Friday night. Same with Gary Hess and Hokie Steve. So you still might hear Stubb's voice on Fridays here on 910 The Fan. But we wish him the best of luck with his new gig. And Jay Money, Jeremy, is taking over on the board, starting full-time officially for AWOD on Monday. And once again, Monday's show, that's normally from Capitol Ale House, will be an AWOD road show heading to NC State for VCU against NC State. Zach Joachim had a really good article that he broke down with us earlier that you can check out, richmond.com, where he previews the matchup using some of the quotes from my interview with Will Wade from ACC Tip-Off. And I just reposted that as well on Twitter at AWOD Radio. For those that you might have missed it, we had Jeff Capel, Will Wade, Ryan Odom, three former VCU coaches in the ACC, joined AWOD Radio from ACC Tip-Off. That trip is always presented by Cowan Gates. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back on the Fan.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio. This is Stubb right now, sitting here now at River City Roll. This is a part of the show I've never seen, actually. Kind of funny, on the way here, I was listening to the show on the radio, which was also a first. It's starting to feel a little bit real here, I'm not going to lie. It's crazy. This is crazy. It's been two years now, and this being the last day, it's finally kind of starting to hit me. But before we get a little bit sentimental, I'm going to do, Adam said I could have 10 minutes to talk, and
yeah.
So I'm going to do what I want to do, and that is talk about movies. If I have the mic, I'm going to talk about it. So I've decided, as my final send-off, I have my list right here of my 33 favorite movies of all time. I'm going to rapid-fire recommend them. They are in order. I'm going to start at the bottom and go to the top, give a little splurb.
So what do you mean they're in order? Of like
33 to 1.
So like you're going to give out your number one movie of all time?
Yes.
Ooh, this is kind of juicy. I'm going to have to hold back from like destroying his list because we do not have the same taste.
I know we
in
don't.
Movies.
I know we don't. But I mean, these are my favorites. Obviously, they're not my objective 33 best films of all time.
If you want to surprise me, you put Step Brothers on there.
Step Brothers not on there. let me get some theme music, Jeremy, and I'm gonna go ahead and get started. All right, number 33, Little Miss Sunshine. This is one of the best dramedies, I guess is what you call it, of all time. The comedy bits are fantastic. The drama hits really hard. You can cry this movie. You can cry laughing or from the actual sadness. It is fantastic. I love this movie. Fantastic cast. It's about like a road trip of a dysfunctional family trying to take their little girl to her dance recital. Perfect all the way around. I love Little Miss Sunshine. Next is Apocalypse Now. Francis Ford Coppola is my favorite movie of his. It's probably my favorite war movie of all time. Just about how terrible the Vietnam War was for everyone. It's so gritty. The performances are fantastic. It's iconic for a reason. It is just that good.
You're going to roll through this list so quickly, we're going to have to tweet it out.
That's fine. Mulholland Drive, directed by David Lynch. I was going through and trying to like take mental notes on these. I talked about them. I could not tell you a thing that happens in this movie. If you know who David Lynch is, you know what you're in for. You like Twin Peaks, you're going to like this. It's just that magnificent, weird, takes you five times to understand what it is.
Isn't this the movie that the beginning is actually the ending?
Kind of. Maybe. Again, it's one of those, like, there's so many different ways that you can interpret it.
Yeah.
One you can watch a million times and get something new out of every time. I think it's awesome. Next up, this is kind of my most indie movie on the list. It's called Party Girl, starring Parker Posey. It's about this girl who loves going out and partying, and she runs out of money. She finds love being a librarian. It's a very odd little movie, very funny. I like it. It's very cute. Obviously made on like a $10 budget, but a couple of pretty famous people ended up coming out of it, so I highly recommend.
Well, Parker Posey is famous recently for, what was the role did she play?
She was in Beau's Afraid?
No, that's not it. She was in a TV show.
Ah, well,
She's in White Lotus. She's in the most recent season.
Yes, I did know that.
Yeah.
So shout out to Parker Posey. She carries that movie.
Yeah.
Next up, here's a comedy, Clue. One of the greatest comedy scripts ever written. Fun fact about this movie, when they showed it in theaters, they had three different endings. And that way you couldn't really spoil it for your friend. Now when you watch it, they show all three endings. It's hilarious. I love Tim Curry so much. Clue is so good. I can't recommend it enough. Next up, Akira. This is my first animated movie on the list. Akira came out in 1988 and essentially influenced the entire Japanese anime industry. It is the reason like Dragon Ball exists. One of the most gorgeous animated films ever made. It was made in 1988. For hand-drawn, it is stupid beautiful. It's a sci-fi movie about some kids who get experimented on and kind of get psycho powers. It's a little bit of a Stranger Things type vibe, but in a sci-fi universe. It is so influential on all animation. Also, if you've ever seen someone in a movie do a bike slide, that is a reference to this movie. Mm. They did it in Nope, the Jordan Peele movie, directly references this one. Next up, Babylon. This is one of the newer movies, Damien Chazelle, starring Margot Robbie. This is kind of about making movies in when it went from the silent era to the talking era, but not quite Singing in the Rain positive. This is more of the negative kind of drug-filled side of it. super flashy, one of my favorite scores of all time. Damien Chazelle is one of my favorite directors. Justin Hurwitz is the composer.
Did the critics like this one, or did they kind of trash it,
and no one went to see it?
Yeah.
And I adore it.
Okay.
It's kind of had a bit of a
I remember when it came out, it was like, I want to see this, and then I feel like I saw everybody just crush it.
But I love it. Mm-hmm. All right, next up. This is my favorite Coen brother movie. Not brothers, because only Joel Coen did it. And that is The Hudsucker Proxy. It is about some schlub at the bottom of a business that they're trying to tank the company, so they promote him to CEO, and then he invents the hula hoop. It is really funny. Stars Tim Robbins, and it is just hilarious. It is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. I've never heard anyone talk about it. I really recommend you go out and watch this one. It's on Tubi right now. I just watched it one night. It is hilarious.
Yeah, we gotta drop where you can watch some of these, because I'm creating a list of the ones that I want to see.
Kingsman: The Secret Service. It's a kind of a parody of James Bond, but it's also my favorite James Bond movie. This was kind of Taron Egerton's breakout role. A lot of really good people in this, like Samuel L. Jackson, Colin Firth. It's just a really good spy movie, in addition to being really funny and making fun of those James Bond things. You like, the sequels are not good. You can check
I'm glad you said that, because I really like the first one.
Good. Check it out on Hulu.
It's a good movie, but yeah, don't waste your time with the sequels at all.
Next
my
up,
goodness.
Maybe saddest one on the list, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Frances McDormand is my favorite actress. This is just an all-time performance by her and Woody Harrelson and Sam Rockwell. All-star cast doing their absolute best. This won a bunch of Oscars for a reason. Just a beautiful thing to watch. I can't recommend it enough.
Super sad. I mean, you're going to cry.
It's horrifically sad.
Yeah.
Birdman, parentheses, or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. This is the best camera work you will ever watch in a movie. It is shot like it's one take. It's not actually one take, but the way they edit it makes it seem like one take. I need to go faster, so I'm going to start going faster now. Currently not streaming anywhere.
Does Michael Keaton, is he better in that, or is he better as, like, Batman?
I mean, this is kind of about him playing Batman. I think he's phenomenal in this. I think this may be my favorite Keaton. Next up, Everything Everywhere All at Once. This is also a recent one. It's kind of like the multiverse thing that we're seeing all these superhero movies, but not about superheroes and done super well. I'd be surprised if you haven't heard about this one. It's not streaming anywhere, unfortunately. Shout out to the Daniels. Next one, Empire Records. This is essentially Breakfast Club in almost every way. It's very much a John Hughes movie. I don't love John Hughes that much, but it's that teen coming of age. They work in a record store together. Some beautiful shots in this. This is a really cute movie. If you like John Hughes and that teen coming of age 90s era, this is one of the best.
I've seen this.
Suspiria, Dario Argento. We're getting into horror now. This is Italian horror. It's about a witch dance academy. The lighting is gorgeous. Everything is beautiful about this movie.
What does Italian horror mean?
Giallo. It is the official name. It's horror made in Italian, in Italy.
Oh.
It's very popular. This is a 70s movie. It's very old. They made a remake. I'm talking about the 1977 one. This one's also on Tubi. Little Shop of Horrors. This is my favorite movie adaptation of a musical. I'm a theater major. I love musicals. Directed by the voice of Miss Piggy, Frank Oz. It's about a plant that goes crazy, tries to eat the people. Great music. I love Rick Moranis.
And yeah, that's the guy from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
2001: A Space Odyssey. Kubrick. Not my favorite Kubrick movie, but it is. I mean, it's 2001. You know, I don't even need to talk about this movie. It's on HBO Max. One of the greatest movies of all time.
The single greatest cut in movie history.
Yes. Speaking of some of the greatest movies of all time, the original 1957 12 Angry Men, the greatest script ever written. I mean, that movie is only in one room the whole time, and it is one of the most compelling movies I've ever watched.
Did you watch that in high school? My high school history teacher showed it to us.
No, I just watched it on my own. I mean, if you haven't watched this, go watch it.
Yeah.
It's everything. Dog Day Afternoon. I cannot believe they made bank heist movies after this, because they perfected it in 1975. This is my favorite Al Pacino performance, Dog Day Afternoon. It is not streaming anywhere, but it is just a bank heist movie based on a true story.
How does it compare to Heat?
I've not seen Heat, and that's on me.
Whoa.
I know. I love Dog Day Afternoon. Ghostbusters, also one of the greatest scripts of all time. They keep trying to remake it, but they don't understand that the magic of Ghostbusters is not the fantastic elements. It's that it's about a couple of schlubby dudes who start a extermination business. And the ghost stuff is just added onto that. That kind of adds to the humor. It is a comedy first, and all of these stupid remakes do not understand that. Next, the best sports movie of all time, The Sandlot. I watched this movie 100 times when I was in middle school and elementary school. My dad showed this to me. I love The Sandlot. You all know The Sandlot. It's on Netflix. It's on Disney Plus. Oh, Sandlot.
It's part of my list that I watch every July 4th.
I watched this most recently as well. Moonrise Kingdom. This is my favorite Wes Anderson movie. I love Wes Anderson. It's about kind of like being 10 and being in love. Which is such an odd thing to kind of perfect the way that Wes Anderson does. I think this is him at his best. That sort of quirkiness fits so well with the kid characters in this. Whiplash. Oh my God, Whiplash is so good. This one's on Netflix right now. Damien Chazelle, my favorite director. Kid wants to be better at drumming. Fantastic performance from J.K. Simmons. Pushes him to his limit. One of the greatest movies of all time. Back to animated WALL-E. I love WALL-E. WALL-E is so good. It is the best Pixar movie.
It's WALL-E over WALL-E.
I love WALL-E. It's perfect. It's so cute. On to the top 10 now. My favorite animated movie as a kid, Lilo and Stitch. I could watch this movie forever.
Don't waste your time with the remake.
Don't waste your time with the remake. Watch the original. It's perfect. Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride. Are you kidding me? I love Lilo and Stitch. Had a crush on her older sister who didn't. Number 9. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Sergio Leone, the greatest Western of all time. Part of the Dollars trilogy. This is one that every single person should see. I know it is so long, but, I mean, it's Clint Eastwood.
Can you tell me about the trilogy? I don't know about that.
It is a few dollars more, a fistful of dollars in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It's one of those technically a trilogy. They aren't chronological. It's just three movies starring Clint Eastwood as a character with an unknown name. Number 8, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I love Spider-Man. I love comic book movies. This is one of the most insanely animated movies of all time. This is the second one in the Spider-Verse series. I mean, there's a character who different body parts are animated at different frames. If you know anything about animation, that is stupid impressive.
Do we have an update on the third?
It's on Disney Plus. I think it's coming out in 2027. Seventh favorite movie, Blade Runner. Ridley Scott. Sci-fi, dystopia, noir. It's got everything you could possibly want. Harrison Ford crushes it in this movie. This is a gorgeous, gorgeous movie. And I've not seen the sequel yet, and I need to.
But have you read the book?
I've not read the book. I didn't even know there was a book.
Dude,
I didn't know. Number 6, Social Network.
Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, one of my favorite titles.
Oh, right. That is. I did know that. Okay, Social Network. Number 6, directed by David Fincher. One of the best scores of all time. Sneaky in there. It's about the creation of Facebook. Andrew Garfield gives one of my favorite line deliveries in the history of cinema. I cannot repeat it on the radio.
Can you tell us anything about The Social Network 2?
It's on the way. I don't think Jesse Eisenberg is coming back. I don't think David Fincher is directing it. My hopes are not high. Number 5, The Shining, directed by Stanley Kubrick. This is the best horror movie of all time, one of the best movies of all time. I'm blanking on the name of the... How am I blanking on the writer? Stephen King. Stephen King doesn't even like this movie, which is crazy to me because Jack Nicholson gives perhaps the greatest performance anyone's ever given in a movie of all time. Rest in peace, Shelley Duvall. I love her so much. Number 4, La La Land. I just adore La La Land. This is Damien Chazelle again. This is the third Damien Chazelle movie on my list. It is about, you know, falling in love and it not working and right people, wrong time and wanting to be an artist and everything like that. And it is gorgeous to me and it's perfect to me and I love the music and I love everything about this movie. Number 3, Jurassic Park. Literally a perfect movie. There's not one thing I would change about Jurassic Park. My favorite Spielberg. Dinosaurs are awesome. I will watch anything with dinosaurs. This just also happens to be literally a perfect movie from start to finish. The music, the acting, the costumes, the set, everything. Number 2, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. This movie is turning out to be as influential as the first Toy Story when it comes to animation. Everyone wants to be this movie. I want to be this movie. It is so amazing. I love Spider-Man so much. They captured him perfectly. This is the best Spider-Man movie. This is the best superhero movie. I don't care if you disagree. My favorite movie of all time is Edgar Wright's Baby Driver. I have watched this movie 50 times. It's on Netflix right now. 50 times in my life. It's a kid, and he gets tinnitus. Well, not a kid. He's like 16, 17, maybe 18. He's a getaway car driver, and he has tinnitus, so he's always listening to music to kind of drown out the ringing in his ear, because that's what happens. And the music he's listening to in the movie, the entire movie is on beat with it. So if he's listening to a song, the characters in the background's footsteps are on beat to the song that is happening. And it's an action car chase movie. This has been my favorite movie for 10 years. I adore it to death. I love Baby Driver. And that's my top 33.
I'm glad you mentioned Baby Driver and not Drive. Oh,
I like
Drive.
I
can't stand that movie.
I like Drive.
It was just not enough talking in that movie. My goodness. All right. I'm Adam Epstein. You've been listening to AWOD Radio. Stubby, stub, stub. Stick around for the final segment. We'll say goodbye to you and a weekend preview with Game Day. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool Top Load Washer or Midea Top Freezer Refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.